This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Guys, I notice it every year, so it's not anything new, but it's the day after Christmas, day after Thanksgiving, life speeds up. Have you noticed this? It's Black Friday. People are out at 6 o'clock buying $20 Blu-ray players and $5 CDs. And Naomi and I were out on Sunday just driving the after Thanksgiving, and every slot in the mall, Southfield Mall, was taken. I mean, restaurants are packed. The streets are packed. It is just busy. It's like life ratchets up several notches. And it happens for the obvious reasons. Nothing, again, not rocket science. I mean, you have parties to go to. You have family gatherings. You have Christmas cards you got to write. You're trying to wrap Christmas presents. All kinds of things happen that are extra. And some of you were busy before Christmas hit, right? I mean, your business was growing great guns, or your life as a mom and as a wife, perhaps, man, that just takes everything you've got. And so now at Christmas time, you go to a new level of energy. And some of you are saying, however, well, Art, come on, what's the big deal? Nobody's going to pull me over for speeding through Christmas. What's the problem? Well, the Bible says that there's one thing that we ought to pay a lot of attention to all year long, and ideally that would be especially true at the Christmas time, and that is the growth of our souls. Now, for those of you who don't know this, in the Bible, the word soul and the word spirit are synonymous. So really, we're talking about spiritual growth, but I want to talk about it with a little bit of different words. I want to call it soul care. And that's really what we're talking about today. You might remember that Jesus said in Matthew 16, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, the soul, our souls, is of course, our soul is the part of us that relates to God and that lives forever in eternity. Just that simple. And since our souls relate to God, we can cultivate that spiritual relationship and we can grow. Our soul grows. Our soul deepens if we cultivate it. And that's exactly what I want us to talk about today. I want us to talk about how to be rich in spirit by cultivating our inner life with God. And especially in the Christmas season, man, especially, but really any season that's busy, we need to do some special things to try to help ourselves. So let's have this little conversation today. We're going to talk about three questions. We're going to try to answer three questions about soul care during the busiest of seasons, and I want to say really any busy season in our life. You know, the first question is just how do we cultivate our inner life with God? How does that happen? Well, guys, if you've been around Lighthouse for more than just a few weeks, you have heard me talk about that exact subject. How am I going to grow in Christ, essentially? But I want to come at it from a little different viewpoint today. So I want us to look at Jude verse 20. And here's what that book says. "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in God's love." Now, it's interesting that this instruction starts with two verbs. And if you remember from your grade school days, your grade school teacher told you that a verb is an action word. So what are the two action words in here? Well, build and keep. Pretty clear. It's saying you, believer, you take action and you do what is needed to be done to care for your soul, to keep your soul connected and submitted to God. And how do you do it? Well, first of all, you keep yourself in God's love. And of course, if you look at John 15:10, you realize that keeping yourself in God's love has a lot to do with listening to God and obeying God. So this passage is saying, come on, stay in contact with God. Be constantly aware of His will for your life. And then submit to that will in a very clear way. Now, it's interesting that a few verses later, Verse 24, Jude says this, "Now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away." Now notice the same verb is used. The same verb is used, keep. Now which one is it then? Is God keeping you? Is God keeping your spiritual life where it should be? Or are you keeping it there? Well, of course, the truth is that both of you are. God is gracious. He's merciful. He's going to keep your soul connected to him in a very real way. But, because God is sovereign, his power is there. But, guess what? You and I are responsible, too, for our soul care. You and I are responsible to put in our own efforts to grow our souls. You see this also, this issue of effort. You see it in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. It says this, "Since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him, keep your roots deep in him, build your lives on him, become stronger in your faith." In other words, come on, build your soul. Now you see again the action words in there. Look at what it says. It says, you know, you live in union. You keep your roots. You build. All those words there are active. So is God going to give you power to live in union with him? Of course he is, no doubt. But you've got a responsibility too. It's absolutely key. There is an action that needs to go on. So what does it say? Live in union. In other words, you do what it takes to connect with God. That's the important thing. And you connect with God at good times, and you connect with God in bad times. It's still your responsibility. So God is saying this, come on, kids. Come on. Stay connected to me. Stay submitted to me. Take responsibility. Don't be passive about soul care. Because passivity will always take you in the wrong direction, correct? Because why? The downward pull in life is always constant. And if you're passive about life, if you're passive about soul care, then you will go down. That's the direction you have. But, you know, so be building a relationship with God every day. Now, you want to build your souls? Okay. Cultivate your inner life with God? Okay. It's not rocket science. You know what it is? Soul care is mostly about doing the small things that keep you connected to God. Just doing the small things. It's not, again, not a big deal. Again, we've talked about this many times. In fact, we've talked about these things so many times, I haven't even today provided the scriptures that go behind them because you know them. We've said, for example, if you go to church, wow, well, that's going to help you. Why? Because you're going to hear God speak to you, and you're going to reflect on what you've heard. You're going to sense God's presence, and you're going to get reconnected with God every week. And that little reconnection is so important in soul care, and it's your responsibility. We said if you grow in Bible knowledge by maybe reading your Bible regularly, man, that's going to help you because God's truth is going to get into your mind and heart, and that is going to cultivate your soul. I don't even have to quote the verses here. Knowing and responding to God's word is a part of soul care. Guess what? It's your responsibility, my responsibility. And it happens. When it happens, what happens? We stay connected to the God that we love so much. And we've talked also about keeping your spiritual headsets on. You know, sometimes we see today people with earbuds in their ears, you know. And, okay, well, I'm telling you, carry your spiritual headset around. And what I mean by that is you listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That you're connected to him and you're listening to him, then that's a key part. You know what I'm really saying there is we remain alert to God every day. We remain alert to what he's saying to us every day. And if we do that, what happens? Our soul grows. And you gain a stronger connection to God. And in fact, guys, the list of Christian practices I could list here go on and on. I mean, for example, maintaining fellowship with people. That is personal relationships. And that will help you, that's mutual, that there's reciprocity there. Man, that's going to help you. Now, you can do that in home groups. Yes, but there are all kinds of ways to do that. And what does it do? It keeps you connected to God. Guys, here's the deal. Just think of these as connecting activities. You get up in the morning, you say, oh, I'm going to do my quiet time with God. I'm going to read the Bible. No, just think of it this way. I'm going to do a connecting activity. Because when you read the Bible, when you pray, when you're there with God, you're connecting with Him, and that small connection that day is a part of caring for your soul, deepening your connection with God. Small things that keep you connected to God. Sometimes we think, oh, it's all so big, this spiritual life deal is all so big, I don't know what to do. No. It's mostly small things. Small connecting activities that keep you connected to God. And guys, you know what? Something great happens when we do this. Something wonderful happens. As you fill your soul up with good things, the result is good things come out. You see this in Matthew 12. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. You see that phrase, good stored up in him? I love that. Because, again, that's what happens in soul care. Good gets stored up. That is, our hearts are changed over time. Our minds begin to think like Jesus thinks. We begin to learn how to practice that. It's stored up. And it makes a difference in our life. We store up good things. Guess what? We build our souls and good things come out. Now, in fact, people even say, wow, that guy is different. That gal is different. Why? Because they see what's happening. So how do we stay connected? How do we cultivate that inner life? Hey, we take responsibility to stay connected with God and submitted to God. And therefore, that means that a whole myriad of just small connecting activities are part of our life. And when that's true, more and more and more, our spirits are submitted to God. Our spirits are connected to God. Soul care is taking place. And it's so important for our life. Now, of course, that brings us to an important second question. What makes Christmas season, and really any busy season, that's not just Christmas, what makes any busy season so hard to cultivate our inner life with God? Well, why is soul care so hard right now, for example, right during this season? Well, it's what we talked about at the beginning. It's something called speed. There it is. Here's the way it tends to go. If your speed in life gets fast enough, soul care gets diminished. Now, I want you to know that I've labored long and hard, and I have got a very complicated little graph here for you. Here it is. You ready? Soul care goes down when life speed goes up. Okay, there it is. It took me a long time. So, as we've observed, all of our speeds just went up, right? Right after Thanksgiving? It happens. And it'll happen at other times of the year, too. My point is that you cannot carry ever-increasing amounts of velocity without, at some point, imperiling the growth of your souls. Now, that point is different for different people. Some people, man, they're set to go faster than others. There's no doubt about that. I want you to know that I am not personally one of those people. Sometimes people think of me, they see that I'm fairly enthusiastic, and I say, yeah, you're right, man, I am enthusiastic, but I'm not a type A personality, and I work very hard at keeping my life as slow as it needs to be, because when my life speeds up too much, I know that my soul care goes down. Now, you may be different. You may thrive on speed, but guess what? No matter how type A you are, at some point, you cannot carry ever-increasing velocity without, at some point, your soul care goes down. You know, when my mom was still alive, she always invited us down to her ranch in Texas. Now, it was a 400-acre ranch. She always told me, Art, it's not a ranch until you hit 1,000 acres. 400 is just a little plot of land. But anyway, we went down there, and we always had sun. It was beautiful down there. And one year we went down with the kids, and Grandma was going to take care of the kids. That's a blessed moment in a parent's life. Grandma was going to take care of the kids. And so Naomi and I went out, and my mom lent, she allowed me to drive her brand new Lexus. Now, I knew that I would never get my hands on a Lexus ever again, okay? So, I just really enjoyed, we took that out, and Naomi and I had this beautiful conversation. We were talking about our lives, and and it was meaningful, and it was so beautiful. And remember, we're out on country roads. There's nobody out here at all. So we have the road to ourselves. It's bright. It's beautiful. And then I decided to do something that, in retrospect, was probably not the best thing to do. In fact, if there are anybody who's a child today, just don't do this, okay? I decided that since I would never get my hand on the beautiful Lexus again, I would never own one, and there was nobody on the road, that I would just try to take the Lexus as fast as I could take it. And because I knew my Plymouth Valiant, I knew that past 70, it started to shake. So I knew that I could not do this with my Plymouth Valiant. So I decided that I would try it with the Lexus. So I just got up, and 70, I think 70 is really good here. This is beautiful. 80, no shake. It was just 1 or 90. It was 1 or 100. It was almost like 60 with my Valiant. 110, it was so beautiful. And then I truthfully can't remember where we topped out at. But I did notice something about the conversation as the speed increased. Here's what I noticed. Naomi stopped talking. And I stopped talking. Because I can only say it this way, the speed focused our attention. It focused us. Nothing else was going to happen because I was fixated on keeping that car on the road. I was fixated. My white knuckles were right there at the right position, trying to just say, oh, we're going very, very fast. We couldn't talk. We couldn't connect because we couldn't ignore the speed. We was just silent in the car except for Naomi's labored breathing. Okay. That was about it. Okay. Now, friends, reason I tell you that story, that's just a picture, I think, of what happens when our lives speed up. At a certain point, when the speed is high enough, we just don't pay attention to soulish things. It's all about keeping our hands on the wheel. It's all about white-knuckling that thing until the speed comes down. And what happens is that our priorities tend to change a little bit, and we just have to keep the hands on the wheel, and we can't talk much. In a slower time, for example, we might have been reading Ephesians 5:10 and said, great, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Oh, I can do that, no problem. Carefully determine. But in times of speed, what happens? You keep eliminating things, and what gets eliminated all too often is soul care. Now, if you keep carrying increasing amounts of speed, church becomes, for example, expendable. I mean, it's you just can't make it because you got too much stuff to do. If you carry a certain amount of speed, you don't get your knees on the floor for prayer. In fact, your feet don't even touch the floor before you're out of the house because you got stuff to do, and you're running. You don't get the truth then of God's word in your life. And sadly, when you're gripping the wheel of life, you don't wear that spiritual headset too much. You're not listening very well because, again, to heck with the headset, you got places to go. You got people to see. You got things to do, and it's just, you can't listen very well, so you miss opportunities for what I can just... Here's what I call these opportunities. I call them course corrections. Do you know that if you have the Spirit of God living in you, He wants to give you course corrections all day? He wants to, okay, daughter, I see that your heart is pretty angry at this person. Now, sis, that's not right. You got to make that right. You come to me now. I'll help you with that. Okay, I see that you're experiencing great loss. Come to me right now. I want to give you comfort. Would you stick with me right now? Because, daughter, I want to help you. We just get course corrections all day. And what happens if we speed up, the headset's not on, we're not listening, that goes away. And so soul care is diminished. Home group? No way, man. Slow conversation? I don't have time for a slow conversation. I don't have time for interaction. Serving? Are you kidding? I need four people to serve me. because I got stuff to do. Can't do it this month. So instead of going into my Sunday school class and teaching kids, I'm calling up saying, no, would you get somebody else? Because I got stuff to do. And you know what? The danger of this, when we carry this increasing speed, is that we just think to ourselves, oh, it's not doing that any damage. Oh, we're okay. But we wind up on Christmas Eve just a little barren of soul. Why? Because it's mostly the small connecting activities in life that build my soul. And when those go away, then my soul suffers. So at the one time of the year that we should be filled with overflowing, with worship, with thanksgiving, and with wonder, the one time of the year when we should be just aware of the miracle of Christ's birth, the one time of the year when we should be just very tender to our family and to our spouse and to the people in our lives, and we should be most available, we aren't because of speed. Now, what's happening instead? We're rocketing ahead at about 120 miles an hour, and our white knuckles are gripping the wheel. And when that happens, soul care goes down. And that's really what Matthew 16 says. Remember the last part of that phrase, verse 26? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, guys, the original context here, Jesus was talking about the person who was so tied into the world that they did not have a relationship with God. Literally, they were forfeiting their soul for the world. But let's apply it to the Christian. What can a Christian give in exchange for the deepening of his soul or her soul? We can give something. You trade this and you get this. And if you trade speed for soul care, that's what happens. So we make the exchange. It's not a very good exchange, guys. It's not a good exchange at all. So, third question. So crucial. What's the cure? What is the cure? What do we have to do to keep from making this exchange? Well, you know, the first thing we do, we just be aware of the speed dynamic. Be aware of what I've just told you. Keep that complicated graph in your brain. Proverbs 13:16 says, "Every prudent man acts out of knowledge." In other words, a prudent person says, "Oh, this is what generally happens. This is how life works. Oh, I get it." And so we're aware of this dynamic. So you keep the chart in your brain. You think before you act. You say, okay, I know that this season right now can be very, very busy. And okay, it's going to be busy. But what I'm not going to do is I am not going to let my soul care go down. Okay? And you understand your responsibility. So it's just that simple. Now, I will say it's just like anything else in life. The more you know ahead of time, the more that you anticipate something, the better you can do with it. You know, if you go to a Christmas gathering and you don't want to eat everything on the plate, all goodies, you go to the Christmas gathering and, oh, there will be many goodies there. I will have one of them. I will not have eight of them. You know, you anticipate the problem, and then when you go there, you do better, okay? Well, that's just what this is. Being aware of this dynamic is what's going to help you. Oh, yeah, soul care goes down. I get it, okay? But I'm going to tell you the second thing is even more important. What can you do? You concentrate on the soul line of the graph, okay? Why do I say that? It's simple, because sometimes you can't do a whole lot about the speed. You know, some of you, when I just said, you know, concentrate on not being so fast, some of you are going, but Art, you don't understand. My life is already fast. Everything is speed up. Not much I can do about it. Okay, I get it. I'm going to just tell you, for example, I'm talking about this today, and yet for most pastors and most of our ministry staff, Christmas does not decelerate a lot, our lives a lot. In fact, it speeds it up. Why can't we decelerate a whole lot during this season? Because we can't. You know, you just saw all these children up here. Guess what? That means the children's team is working with them, and they have a presentation on Friday. They're not decelerating a whole lot. Pastor Adam and I are going to do a Christmas Eve service here and other things that we're doing for Christmas. Well, we can't decelerate a lot. Frankly, we don't always, all the pastors don't always say no when they should say no either. And in a way, it's just kind of the season, that's the way the season is. So what do? We keep the speed line down as far as we can. That's what you can do. Keep it down as far as you can. But then you tune in with a greater focus to your soul. 1 Timothy is so telling here. Look what it says. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. You know, I and some of my pastor friends here on the staff, we like to keep in shape. We like to exercise. We do that. We compare programs and all that stuff. And what would the scripture say about that? Oh, that's good. That's fine. Why would it say that? Well, because on the planet here, that'll do you some good. As long as you're on the planet, you know, you're a little healthier or whatever it be. But what does it say about soul care here, training in godliness? It says, man, it helps me today, and it helps me in eternity. So that not only does it help me today, because why does it help me today? Because my heart changes. I become more like Jesus. It helps every relationship I have. It helps me keep my priorities straight. It helps me in time of grief or loss. It helps me when life is not going very well. Man, it helps me right here on the planet. But also, you know what the scriptures are pretty clear about? The scriptures seem to suggest that the character that you develop while here on planet Earth, you carry with you into eternity. Now, I'm not exactly sure how that works, but the scriptures do seem to suggest that what I develop here, the man or woman that I become here, that's the man or woman that I take into eternity with me. So guys, remember Colossians 2, Jude 21. Come on. It says build yourself up in your most holy faith. It says, stay in union with Christ. Stay in God's love. It's all about connecting activities, small things that connect you to God, that submit you to God. It's over and over again. You grow your soul that way. Now, friends, I want you to know I found this to be the thing that really maintains my life in God. Sometimes people look at pastors or other people that they think are spiritual, and they think, well, there must be something that happened there that was really, they must be doing something really big that really helps them. No, they don't. They just do a lot of small things like any other Christian to try to keep connected to God and build their souls. And when we do that, all of us are drawn closer and closer to Jesus Christ. So in busy times, guys, you just say, hey, I'm going to hold on like never before to the fundamentals that keep my soul healthy. That's what I'm going to do to help myself. And remember, it is mostly the small things. And you, what you do is you find a way to maintain as many of those connecting activities as you possibly can. Just think of it that way. During this busy season, I'm going to do the best I can to maintain as many of those connecting activities as I possibly can. That's going to care for my soul. In fact, I want to tell you something that happened to me this week that illustrates this. This week, Naomi and I host a home group, and we lead a home group that we have for many years. And all the people who come to this home group, they're all, we've all known them for decades, and they're all people who love Jesus. Man, and their lives are engaged. They're fully engaged with Jesus and with life. And so they're very, very, very busy. So last Wednesday, we had our home group meeting, and what happened? Well, we were going to have our supper at 6:30, like we always do, and several of the group called to say, "Hey, we're going to be late." And so, what happened? One of them was flying in from Nashville on a business trip. He said, "I'm coming right from the airport." Oh, okay, great, super. Another one had a big family responsibility. They said, "I'll be about 45 minutes late, but I'm coming right from this activity." Another person called and said, "I'm driving from Seattle from work. I went late. I'm coming. I'll be there in about an hour." He drove right from work to be there. And then on the other end, some people said, you know, we can be here for the first hour and a half, but we got to leave because we have to take somebody somewhere. You know, it was all a big, a lot of people moving and going different directions. But my point is this, they all showed up. Why? Because they valued the relationships. They knew that those relationships, now get this, those relationships were a part of soul care. That was a connecting activity because God was going to speak to each person through the love and support and voice of those other believers. You've had that happen, haven't you? Where God has spoken through someone, another believer. And so they could have all said, well, man, I'm too busy. I'm going to skip it. But they didn't do it. Now, well, how did the meeting go? Well, hey, as usual, what do? We spoke of God's goodness to each other. We expressed love for each other. But something special happened too. Something that doesn't always happen. At the end of our prayer time, we prayed for each other. And at the end of our prayer time, we just sort of spontaneously began to sing, Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him. And at the end of singing that song, we just, all of us, just felt God's presence with us. And so we paused for a long time with our eyes closed, just totally silent, because we thought, you don't get to feel God's presence every day. You know He's there, but you don't always feel it, do you? So there we were. Yes, Lord. And then spontaneously, near the end of that time, just prayers of praise and thanksgiving and adoration to God began to flow. Guess what? It was a beautiful connecting time with God. Wouldn't have happened if we hadn't been together. Wouldn't have happened. So what were we all doing? We were building ourselves up in the most holy faith. We were keeping ourselves in God's love. We were living in union with Christ. We were doing all those things, all those action words, and it made a difference. Now, of course, guys, we could list, if we had a little brainstorming session here today, it might get a little complicated, but we could think of literally dozens and dozens and dozens of other small things you do when you're busy to keep in contact with God. It would be something as small as, well, you know, put that worship music on when you're driving and start, keep being with God there. It's a small connecting activity. Something as small as calling a friend and ministering to them or reconnecting around God's goodness. Many times, service to others is something that helps us stay connected with God. You know, after the service, later this afternoon, that's when our step-by-step dinner is. Hundreds of you will come back and minister to people. And you know what? I hope you have this attitude. When you hand a bag of groceries to somebody today, or when you sit with them at a table, here's what I hope you say. In your brain, you're saying, in your soul, you're saying, okay, God, this is for you because I love you. Help me to love these people, Lord, but it's really, I'm loving you by loving them. What's going to happen then? A little connection. You're going to connect with God because of that. It's not just a duty or it's not just something you did, but it's, wow, I'm connecting with you, God, as I connect with those other people. So a lot of small things can move us right in that direction. It's just saying, okay, Father, I am willing to make this sacrifice and I'm gonna do what's necessary, but I'm really loving you. One of the small things we do is proclaim God's love to people. Maybe we have some sort of witness. I think when I witness all year round, I feel close to God. Okay, God, here I am. This person needs you. Just help me right now because I want to honor you. Help me to say something that would tell them of your love. And so I connect with God as I'm witnessing. Now, some of you you're going to have work parties at your office. You're going to see Uncle John that you never see very often. Weird Uncle John, that one. You're going to see other relatives that you don't see very often. And I'm just telling you, maybe that also is a time. It's, again, we could just think of thing after thing, small things that keep you connected. And all of it is consistent with the Christmas message, really, of God's love being so poured out on our lives. What I'm saying, life speed goes up, soul care goes down. And if you'll remember that, man, and you remember, what do I do? What are the small things that I do that will keep me connected to God? Now, in just a few minutes, here's what's going to happen. We are all going to walk out the door, and life speed will ratchet up. Isn't that true? Some of you have activities to do this afternoon. Here's what I want to say. Don't forget the graph. I want to keep that graph in your brain. Watch your speed. Focus on your soul. And if you'll do that, I know you're going to get it right.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.